me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter number 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. I just want to start here tonight. I want to get some definitions down here before we get into this message or whatever you want to call it here. All right. Deuteronomy chapter number 18, verses 9 through 12, we're going to be looking at. Now, folks, as I go through this tonight, if you have any questions or comments, you just let her rip, all right? So, no doubt, I might have some folks read some verses or different things like that, but not necessarily just a preaching service, all right? I want you to come away with it, with answers if you need them, all right? And if we can point you to the Bible for those answers. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 18. In verse 9, all right, this is the God of heaven. Here he is, all right, and he's speaking to the nation of Israel. He says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's the land of Canaan, folks, all right? That's where Joshua and Caleb were, they took those mountains and they went in the land of Canaan. They took that thing, all right? Thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations, all right? There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire. Listen, that was the god of Moloch. That was a statue that had arms like this. It was made of metal, and they built a fire into that thing, and they'd literally throw their children into that thing, screaming and everything else, and they'd beat on drums so that you couldn't hear the screams of those children. That's what the heathen did. That's what the Canaanites did, because they worshiped these idols, these false gods, and there was actual demonic and satanic manifestations that came from this. So they were dealing with real power, all right, is what they felt. And so that's why they did these things, all right? And God says, listen, don't cause your sons and your daughters to pass through the fire, or useth divination. Divination, folks, is fortune-telling with the aid of unclean spirits. Listen, a true diviner or a fortune-teller has a little booth out along the road. If they can truly tell your future, I want to tell you what, that's demonically empowered spirits, all right? And they exist, okay? I guess my point isn't necessarily to convince you tonight that they exist. I'm coming to them from the point that they just do, and they do, all right? So that's a divination, all right? And then you go to the observer of times, all right? That's astrology, fortune-telling through the positioning of the stars. You know, the horoscope there in the paper. Listen, don't go by that. That's evil, all right? That's not of God, and that's of the occult world and different things, and so that's the enchanter there. Or I'm sorry, the observer of times. Next thing's the enchanter. It's one who enchants. Now listen, you know, there's some these magicians. How many heard of Harry Houdini? All right, yeah, Harry Houdini, and who's another one? David Copperfield. We've heard of those men. We've heard of different. There's another fellow. He's from France. There's guys all. Now listen, Harry Houdini had a poster, man. He'd advertise his stuff, okay, and he would advertise him breaking out of a straitjacket or breaking out of some chains or something like that. On his poster, he had demons all over the thing. Did you know that? Yes, he did. He had his advertisement he had demons all over the thing. Listen, he did his magic and his things. Of course, he died because somebody punched him in the stomach, right? But and everything and it's a horrible death, you know. But listen, he gave his life over to the devil. Okay, David Copperfield admits it that he uses powers. He walked through the Wall of China. And he did these different things, you know. He admits he goes all over the world and collects all these haunted house things and relics and objects that are demonically charged with power. Okay, with that Satan has some sort of hold on, and uses these things. So I say all that to say this. That's just throwing this out here. Okay, but that is a. You know, a magician or a sorcerer, one who has control or one who has command of spirits and demons, okay, type of thing. And the next one here we have here's a witch, right? What are we in verse number 9 here, or verse 10? Enchanter or a witch? Yeah, a witch, a woman who by compact with the devil. All right, that's a contract. That's a signing. Okay? A lot of the celebrities, they sign their names in blood and give themselves over to the devil to be famous. I think of Taylor Swift and Beyonce and different ones like that and Jay-Z and so anyway, these people do these things and they make a compact. But the witch here, she practices sorcery and enchantment and casts spells and hexes on people and different things like that. And again, if you're in Christ tonight, you've got protection, all right? If you're unsaved, according to the Bible, you're not a child of God, but there's only two children in the Bible. It's a child of God or a child of the devil. You say, I'm not saved, but I'm not a child of the devil. No, it's just naturally we are. It's our sin nature. But Jesus died and changed all that. That's what he did. Isn't it something? The Bible's black or white, isn't it? I mean, it's either God or it's Satan. You know, no in between. So anyway, witch, a charmer, one who has the power of enchanted spells and hexes. You see these things running together now. A consulter, one who asks counsel of familiar spirits. We think of Samuel. What was it in 1 Samuel? Was it where Saul consults the witch of Endor? And he brings up the dead, or should I say the witch does. And again, it's what people do these things today, all right? A wizard is a conjurer or a sorcerer, okay? Conjures up wicked spirits or whatever. A necromancer, all right? That's the person who worships the dead and brings up evil spirits. I mean, how many of you remember Jeffrey Dahmer and that whole mess? Yeah. There you go, all right? That's, if you know anything about him and his activity, he's a serial killer, yeah, that's him, okay? That's that type of stuff. He worships the dead, and Jeffrey did more than that with the dead, okay? He was one wicked, satanic guy, but that's part of that thing, all right? Now, and we've noticed the word sorcery. Sorcery is the use of drugs, okay, as a medium to contact the demonic world. Drugs let you passive, all right? I know I was talking to, it was Dean Smith. I forget which accident that he had, and he was telling me how they gave him morphine. And he said, Ben, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, that morphine messed me up. It made me hallucinate or whatever. And he says, I saw things all over my room. And he said, I want to tell you. He said, I didn't want any more of that. He says, but the pain was so bad. And again, I get it. We need painkillers. You got to do what you got to do. That's not my point. My point is that if you don't need the drugs, don't use them. That's the point, okay? Because they can let that entrance in, and you know, because it lets you passive. It just kind of, you just kind of hang out, feel mellow. You know, that's the whole smoking the weed and all that kind of thing. It does that. But anyway, I say all that to say this: these things I just talked to you about are modern day occult practices. All right, and many of these things involve animal, human sacrifice, blood rituals, perverted and horrible. Some of it too much. It's so bad you don't want to mention it. But now, here I want to get to what I want to get to tonight, all right? I want to get those definitions down. I want to talk to you tonight about Halloween, okay? Halloween started as the pagan festival, Samhain. How many's heard of Samhain? Okay, yes, a couple of you. Samhain. Samhain was a day to honor the Lord of the dead. All right? And Samhain, I believe, was the Lord of the dead. Now it says in Romans 14:9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be what? Lord, both of the dead and the living. What you have with Samhain is Satan, or trying to take the place again of God. All right? You see what I'm saying? He's the Lord of the dead. No, well, Jesus is the Lord of everything. Okay? And so that, I just want you to see that. That's where the Samhain's coming from. Okay? And so, anyway, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 20 and 21. Dan Hall, would you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 20 and 21 and read that for us there? And see, these ancient, this was an ancient pagan festival celebrated by the Celtic people. Now, or the Celtic people, I'm saying that wrong. Now, In just a minute, Dan, I'll have you read that. And this was the Celtic people, but the same similar festival was done by the Romans, and it was done by this group and this group, and different names are used for the different gods. Satan tailor fits his little narrative to the ethnic group of the people so he can deceive them in the same way with different ways. Do you know what I'm saying? He's a deceiver, and it's a cheap counterfeit to the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the true gospel, and the way of salvation. This is a cheap counterfeit, all this thing is, okay? And Halloween fits in there with that, all right? Because it's the highest day in this occult world, all right? And that's what we're dealing with here. And go ahead, Brother Dan. Would you read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 20, and, or I'm sorry, 1st, chapter 10, verses 20 and 21.
Mm-hmm. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils.
Okay, so my question is to you, should you really participate in any way in Halloween? You see what I'm saying? All right? Now, I preached this in a church one night, and they were mad as fire. I don't really care. I'm going to be honest with you. Because we got to go with that old book, even if they're going to set us on fire. All right? And that's why I'm preaching this. Okay? So, that's what we're talking about here. And so we've got to be careful. What are we doing? You can't participate. You can't have both ways here. All right? It's a celebration of death. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Right? He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he what? Live. Whosoever liveth and believeth, whosoever believeth, how's that go? Whosoever what?
Liveth and believeth.
That's what it is. I thought so. Liveth and believeth in me shall what? Never die. We're going to celebrate life, folks.
Amen.
That's what we do here at Grace Baptist Church. We celebrate life, not death. Halloween is just the opposite. You see. For the wages of sin is what? Yeah. Why would we walk around with skulls on our clothes? And why would we have skulls and different things? Because it just represents death for the wages of sin. That's nothing but the wages of sin. We don't want that. We want light. Amen? Light. You know. Anyway, those kind of things. But now, here's the thing. Almost all heathen nations have a special day to honor the spirit of the dead, which I just told you about, all right? Different ones use different. Satan just kind of recreates his narrative to go ahead. The Romans, instead of using the word Samhain, they use the word Pomona, is what they call it. All right, same thing. And other ones have different ones, okay? And they believed that the dead, at that night on October 31st, they believed that the dead could walk among the living. At the time, they believed that between this realm and the spirit realm, that the veil got very thin, and that you could pass that the spirits could pass over. And a lot of what the spirits they thought that they were seeing or dealing with were dead relatives, okay, and people that were dead. So anyway, let me not get ahead of myself here. Yeah. Now, that took place, all right, Samhain took place before the New Testament church. And of course, then you had the New Testament church, okay, because it was paganism. They've been doing that for years, the Gentiles. Dan read about the Gentiles. That's the religion of the people in Canaan and of those that didn't know true Jehovah God, all right? That's what they did. Now, as the Catholic Church came along, all right, they gave October 31st, Samhain, they gave it the name Halloween. And this is how. See, the Pope got upset because these pagans were making this big deal out of this, and he thought, well, we can mix this thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Catholic Church is the great whore of Revelation. That's what she is. She'll mix herself with anything just to get the people to come. Okay? It doesn't make any difference to her. She's saying, show me the money. All right? That's what she's worried about. I guarantee you that. Okay? So, anyway, they mix this thing. All right? And they come up with Halloween. All right? That the church combined quote-unquote Christianity, which wasn't really Christianity anyway. All right? But anyway, the Catholic Church and this paganism, and the word hallow means saint. Holy, okay? You getting what I'm saying? Hallow, and ween was evening, all right? And so it's the holy saint evening, so to speak, okay? Because guys, you guys got to know what I'm talking about. You know these people, these Catholics worship the dead saints.
Well, we are praying to Saint Francis.
I'm not praying to St. Francis. I only know Francis. You know what I'm saying? I'm not praying to him.
Well, we are going to pray that Saint, you know, and Saint so-and-so, and we're going to pray somebody out of purgatory, and they want $1 million so that so the priest will pray for that guy to get him out of purgatory. It's a mess, okay? But they really believed it. The people did.
All right? And Halloween has to do with that. They call it All Saints Day, okay? And there's a connection between October 31st and November 1st. And it has to do with astrology and different things too, mixed in with it. Because it's paganism mixed with this false Christendom, if you will. All right? Now, interesting fact here. In 1517, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the Catholic Church door. All right? He did it on what day? October 31st. Do you know why? Because Martin Luther came to know Jesus Christ. He was coming out of the Catholic Church, and he was protesting Protestant. You hear it? He's protesting the Catholic Church. That's what a Protestant is. And he nailed his 95 theses on this door because he knew the people would show up that night to worship the dead saints. Yes, sir. Yes, that's what he did. And so, anyway, let's see, Halloween. And now, listen, and just a little bit, I'm going to go back even further. I got this thing all balled up, mixed up a little bit. But I want to go back even further to the original with the ancient Druids. We will hear in a little bit. But now, Halloween costumes. I want to talk about that, all right? The Celts would wear costumes. And they would wear costumes and they were usually ugly, demonic things, to trick the wicked spirits, the spirits of the dead, into thinking that they were one of them. Now listen, you say, well, these people were, this doesn't make any sense. Listen, these people were, these were superstitious people. And folks, this is the Dark Ages. They lived in fear, okay? And they did this, and they'd wear these costumes. I'm just telling you why the people run around here in America wearing their costumes. This is where it comes from. Okay? And the candy or the sweets, they would use sweets. That's what the source I got from called it sweets, but we're using candy, all right? Were to bribe them so they would bribe these spirits so they wouldn't be harmed. It was to appease them. Okay? Because keep in mind, they had to do with their crops and different things too, okay? Because they were concerned that this Samhain was going to be honored also in that day, so that their crops and everything would be. And let me say this: the roots go back to Baal worship. How many know what Baal worship is? Okay, Baal worship is the worship of the god Baal, and he is a god of fertility. Okay? And so he was able, they thought, to make their crops grow very well. Was able to give them lots of extra cattle. He's a god of fertility, all right? And you can imagine how he was worshipped, all right? You can imagine how it attaches to Freemasonry and different things today with their concepts, okay, which it does. Now, where are we at here? So anyway, the candy was to appease them, or the ghosts. Now, the other thing is, when we talk about ghosts, vampires, werewolves. This comes with the spirit world, okay, and with this thing. The witches, zombies, they've always been associated with the evil spirit world. And of course, we know that the spirit world is true, right? Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's those things that take place, and these guys are dealing with that, all right? That's what this is about. By the way, that's what Halloween's about, all right? It's to we're going to appease Satan's kingdom? Think on it. You know what I mean? And I understand it's just a fun thing and all this, but you got to know where it originates from, all right? Jack-o'-lanterns. Unreal when I found this out, all right? Jack-o'-lanterns. In medieval Britain, people moved from door to door asking for food in return for prayer. Listen, the food was for these demonic spirits because these Celtic people were going to go back to this bonfire, okay, and they were going to have rituals or whatever, and they were going to throw some of these things into the fire because they were sacrificing it to the sun god or to something, all right? But it was a sacrifice. This food was, all right? And anyway, they did this. When they did this, they carried a hollowed out turnip, all right? They didn't use a pumpkin. I don't know. They didn't have them or what. They used turnips, all right? And it was a hollowed out. And they used it as a lantern, and there was a candle inside it, all right? And it was, now get it now. It was representative of a soul in purgatory, all right? Put the candle in there, and that was representative of a trapped soul that needed prayed out. Isn't this mixed up? Yeah. And again, later on, of course, we use pumpkins, you know, and it represented a damned soul. Now, having said that, we come to modern day Halloween, all right? And today, listen, it was a pagan ritual. Plain and simple. But in United States today, it's party night. It's a multi-million dollar industry. Isn't that something? Yes, sir. Costumes. Pumpkins. And I want to tell you, the witches and the Wicca people are going crazy. Halloween's Wednesday. There's stuff going down. There's stuff taking place now in preparation for that. These people build altars. Uh-huh. They bring offerings to their gods. All right? Some food, some different things, some blood sacrifice. Think it's not going on? Think again. All right? Now, during the 1800s in North America, pumpkins replaced the turnips. Why? They're easy to carve. They were plentiful. All right? 2 Corinthians 11:14. I just want to go there. I want to read that. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Verse 13, I want to pick it up there. It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. In other words, the apostle Paul here is speaking. He's saying, listen, he's talking about false teachers. And he says, verse 14, and no marvel. And he says, can, you know, in other words, it's no big deal. Okay, that's what he's saying here, verse 14. And it's no big deal, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. All right? And again, Satan tailor fits his narrative to the culture and customs of each ethnic group to deceive them. That's what he does. And here's the thing. He does that to all of us. He wants all of us to get off the path. If you're a Christian here tonight, he wants you off the path. If you, I'm going to tell you what, if you don't know Jesus Christ tonight as Savior, He doesn't ever want you to know Him. He will distract you any way He can to say, nope, don't worry about it. You don't have to do that now. Nope, don't worry about it. Yep, just hold on there. I remember when I got saved, I mean, you guys remember Dave Foltz? Yeah, man, Dave Foltz. He sat down with a Bible. I was 12 years old going to a basketball tournament with his boys. Dave sat down and he goes, Ben, come here, I want to show you something. Dave was a command man, if you know what I'm saying. You listen to Dave when you're at his house. Remember that, brother? Yeah. Were you there that night he showed us that? Yeah, I heard it. Yeah, but I think we were both there because it was the next day of the IM building. Some preacher came out and breathed fire on us, it seemed. And he preached on hell, and I thought I was going there. That day. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God got a hold of my heart. Yeah. And I want to say this. Dave told me, he says, listen, he says, you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. He says, because you're going to go to hell when you die if you don't. And he told me the gospel and how Jesus died to save me and all these things. And I was like, you know, whatever. And I just let it go at that and everything. But Satan said, oh, no, not now. Don't worry about that now. Went to that basketball tournament. And something happened there. I want to tell you, that guy preached that morning at that tournament. And I thought, wait a minute, I need Jesus. I know I do. And I was 13. Anyway, long story short, I didn't trust the Lord till I was 22, okay? Kept putting that off. And He had a plan. I get it. He had a plan. But man, when He's calling, you answer Him, all right? Because you see all this mess here? Listen, hell is full of that. Do you know the people in those sacrifices, in those rituals, have to take drugs in order to do it? Because their conscience won't even allow them to visualize it. Testimonies of people just literally can't even stand it, can't control themselves. They just throw up because of the horrible things that are done in those things. The drugs are that. I want to tell you what, that's hell. All right? That's all this is going there. All right? So, why do we want to celebrate Halloween? Are you crazy? No, you don't want to. All right? Now, yes, where am I at here? Now, again, all right, I want to, the time of Samhain is the summer's end. It's getting ready to go into winter. We just talked about that Samhain is that Lord of the dead, which He really isn't. Jesus Christ is Lord everywhere, all right, not this thing, all right. It's the period when our world is, yep, and now I want to talk about the ancient Druids, okay. The gods of Canaan is what a lot of this has to do with, all right? The Gentile religions, okay? The Druids would gather together on October 31st. They wore animal skins. The Druids were Satanists. They were priests, okay? They wore animal skins, literally, and probably fresh-killed animal skins, perhaps things on, they put animal heads on their head, all right? And they dance around a bonfire. Folks, it wasn't a bonfire. You know where we get the word bonfire? It was a bone fire. All right? How many knew that? I didn't know that. I started looking at some of this stuff. It was a bone fire. They threw their sacrifices on that thing. Until it was done burning, it was nothing but bone. All right? Anyway, they would gather together these animal skins and they had these heads, and it was closely related to the worship of Moloch and even Baal and with these things. And they would light these bonfires. And here was the idea. The bonfire was to aid the sun in its descent because it was wintertime. They weren't going to see the sun as long. A lot of this has to do with astrology. Okay? And so they'd light these bonfires. They'd put a cauldron over one fire, and they would boil very hot water. They would go into the town, all right, these Druid priests, and they'd go from house to house commanding the families, and I'm not kidding you about this, to tie up their youngest child for sacrifice in the house. Okay? If the child was given, a turnip was carved with a face in it, letting the spirits know, and these people lived in fear, folks. They didn't know the difference. All right? If the child was given, it was okay. They put a turnip there and carved a face in it, and the wicked spirit would come by, and nothing would happen to that home. This is of the devil. All right?
If a child was not given, a pentagram was put on the door of the house, a circle with a star on it. The place was vandalized. The family was tormented for sure. And here is the other thing. Supposedly, I don't know whether it came true or what, but there was a curse put on the guy's crops. These people were farmers. A curse was put on the crops. They weren't to grow the next year. Starve. Boy, Satan's a real winner, isn't he? One. Yes, ma'am.
I recently have heard programs on this subject.
Yes, ma'am.
Last week, so that's why it's so fresh right now to me. Anyway, the turnips and the passing from door to door is to be Satan's counterfeit in symbolism of the angel of death passing over the Israelites.
I believe that. I never heard that, but I believe that. I believe that. That bugger.
It's a mockery. And also,
no, please, go ahead.
Halloween, it was in Britain where, when the pilgrims came over, they refused to have Halloween as one of the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So that was forbidden for many decades after that I'm just a little nervous.
Oh, let her rip, ma'am.
Until just in the mid-1800s.
Mm-hmm. Just coming back, right? It's just coming back. Yeah. Unreal. And what she said about Satan being a mockery about things is, I don't know what you know about some of these Hollywood celebrities, but I think of Taylor Swift, okay? They're supposed to be this singer and whatever. But in some video and whatever, she mocks the resurrection of Christ. She comes out of this coffin and it says, look what they did to me. In other words, it's supposed to be a transformation. And they're mocking the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they're mocking a person that gets saved and walks in newness of life, which is what we talked about this morning in church. And so that's what he does. It's a cheap counterfeit. And in one way, it's a mockery. In another way, it's for others to say, oh, look, there's power there. Look, that'll, yes, ma'am, please go ahead. You just looked at all this, didn't you?
I'm sorry.
You just looked at all this, didn't you?
Last week.
Yeah, isn't that something? Oh, yeah.
I kind of reviewed it then. But we have to look at the candy that is bought in the stores.
Yeah.
They say that we have such a prevalence of satanic Wiccans and Luciferians and Satanists and all that demonic power.
Oh, we do, yeah.
They go into the stores and they are actually putting curses on the candies that we are bringing into our homes.
Yeah.
So the recommendation was everything you bring into your home, pray over it, let the Lord know in the name of Jesus Christ you.
Yeah, you renounce that. That's right.
Yeah, renounce all that. But they said that these, and the guy I listened to, he was a Mason. He was a witch for 30 years.
Yep.
Pastor now.
Amen.
Everything is KJV. He's very good. The website is
with one accord.
So if you go to withoneaccord.org, you'll see everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, absolutely. And then people in the world say, oh, you guys are superstitious. You're not. No. God says it in that book. There's curses. There's witches. There's wizards. But I want to say the authority of the believer in Jesus Christ takes that thing out. It absolutely takes it out. Okay? But you need to know how to pray. You need to have, if you have your Bible, you need to know how to use your sword. That's what it is. It's a sword of the Spirit. You know how to use it in this life. That's why we have it. You know. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What do we pray? We pray this book. We need to know the book to pray it, though. And to claim it. Okay? Listen, this book is a legal contract. You know, the Supreme Court and the Constitution could have never been written without this book. Do you know that? Why? Because it tells you what murder is. It tells you what stealing is. It tells you about lying. It tells you about perjury. It tells you about those things. The whole justice system wouldn't even be here in this earth if it wouldn't be for the Word of God. This is justice.
Okay? So they can, the liberals can throw it out all they want. They can do whatever they want with it and say this, this, and this. It's a living, breathing document. No, it's black or white, and it's the Word of God, and there are absolutes in this life because Jesus Christ is Lord. That's it. All right? And I want to tell you right now, salvation is a legal contract. It's a legality. How can Jesus, the Lamb of God, die for the sins of the world? How can he die for my sin and take me to heaven? Listen, I'm a wicked sinner. I'm a saint right now because God saved me. But listen, before I was saved, I was a wicked sinner on my way to hell. No way I deserved hell or deserved heaven. No way. Nobody does. All right? So how could he legally allow me to get into heaven? Because Jesus Christ paid the price for my sin that I'll be justified so I can go to heaven. I'm going in because of my relationship with Christ, not because I did any good, not because I'm preaching behind his pulpit tonight. It makes no difference. The difference is the fact that I received Jesus Christ and gave him my life, and now I am part of his bride. I'm married to him. That's what the Bible teaches. It's everything to do with my relationship with Christ, not my good works or my good deeds or how often I went to church. It has everything to do with the fact that he legally justified me. Do you know what the word justify means? That's right. Justified if I never sinned. We got Nate Halp sitting right here. Okay? You know how Nate Halp's justified, what justified is? God says, I declare Nate Halp righteous. How did he do it? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. He does it on Jesus' merit, not Nate Halp's. Not Ben Halp's, not Van Knight's. On Jesus' merit. And if you're not trusting Jesus, and that's it, guess what? You're not giving him all the credit. Buddy, you'll give him all the credit or you'll go to hell.
That's right.
He gets all the credit. Because he's the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. He's the one that went to the cross. He's the one that went to the tomb. He's the one that rose from the dead. He gets the credit.
Amen.
And that's what he's after. All right? And so that's what salvation is. It's legally binding in the spirit realm, and it's legally binding anywhere you want to go. That's why we proclaim it from the treetops. Amen? Because it's about him. All right? Halloween. That's what I'm saying. We need him.
Speak clearly.
Yes. You're right. All right. The ancient Druids. They go from house to house. There again, as we heard, I believe it's a mockery from going house to house. That's something. That's eye-opening, all right? Okay, now, and if the child was given, it was okay. But if not, the pentagram was put on there, all right? Now, tradition for bobbing for apples. Mind blower. The ancient Druids would take their victims from the city, wherever they got them, to bring them to this bonfire. Remember, they put that cauldron on that hot water, filled it with water. Okay? And they'd make a deal with those people. Now, I don't know if they're children or adults. I'm not exactly sure, okay, how their paganistic system worked exactly. But here's where the bobbing from apples comes from. They'll say, hey, listen, they put an apple in this hot water, 212 degrees, boiling like the man, and they'd say, listen, if you can bite that apple and get it out of that pan with one try, we won't sacrifice it. You can go free. You know what happens when somebody puts their face in boiling water like that? It just burns the skin right off of them. Listen, you say, well, Ben, why would these people do this? Because they're Satanists. John Podesta is a Satanist. Are you hearing me? It's Hillary Clinton's campaign manager. Satanist. I'm not afraid to say it. All right? That's what he is. He wouldn't mind doing something like that. Principalities and powers, folks. It starts from the top and comes down. It starts in Washington, D.C., and she comes down. All right? Yes, the swamp needs drained. A little plug in there, whatever you want to say, but there's reason for it. And it all fits. Government, when I say religion, I'm not talking about my relationship with my Lord and Savior. No, that's personal. Religion, religiosity, all up here. Government, all there, all this. No, listen, the only way to get through all this and understand it is put the vision glasses of that Bible on and see it and understand it and see which way do I go? How do I do this? How do I do that? How am I going to vote? It's through that. How do I look at this? How do I see this? You got to get in the Word. You got to get in the Word to see it. So anyway, that's what they did. And if the person would bite that thing, listen, and they got away from that, they'd untie them and let them go. They were scarred for life. That's Satanism. They like pain. Listen, there is no way. We don't want our kids out here trick-or-treating. All right? Look where it came from. You say, oh, well, they're just doing it for fun now. Hey, listen. Do you know how many people are abducted on Halloween night? Yeah. Halloween is a high and holy day for the Satanists and the witches. They hurt animals. They hurt people. There's beatings. There's sexual abuse. There's blood drinking. They're summoning up demons. They're summoning up spirits. There's Ouija boards. One source said that was used more on Halloween night than any other time of the year. Listen, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, church. Reprove them. You know. The world should see you and I being totally separate from Halloween. Doesn't mean we're mean-spirited. Doesn't mean we give somebody a hard time and we have the right to be ugly about it. No, that's not of the Lord either. Right? If you can use it as an opportunity to give out a tract, if you can use it for this or that, whatever you know the Lord would lead you to do in that arena. But listen, separate from the spooks and the decorations and the nonsense, you know. Because it really is. It's bad news. It's bad news because you're not going to have a blessing on your home from it. Yep. Be ye not unequally yoked. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath light with darkness? Right? What concord hath Christ with Belial? There's no concord there. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What part hath the temple of God with idols? There's no part in it. It's light and darkness. You see it? Harvest fest. We say, oh, well, yeah, but we're just going to have a harvest fest. Well, folks, please. Harvest fest is just related back to that God of fertility, the harvest. Okay? You see what I'm saying? The unicorn. I don't know what you're talking about, but it's probably connected somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. Now, does that mean we go blast every church or every person? No, we don't. We don't. Because to us, Harvest Fest is just, man, it's just a blessing. We've got all this good stuff here, and we can give glory to God for it. I get that. All right? But listen, you got to take what God gives you from His Word and say, how do you want me to use it? That's the beauty of being, that's the beauty of the priesthood of the believer, of an individual. Okay? We're not mandated here at Grace Baptist Church, well, you got to do this and this and this and this. No. No, we're mandated, we're told at Grace Baptist Church, we're saying, hey, listen, you get in that Bible and you decide what God wants you to do and do it. It's personal. Yes, ma'am. No. Yeah, they're trying to replace the Halloween night with.
Like a Halloween type of.
But you got to be careful there too, because it does get kids off the street and stuff. You know what I mean? I don't have all the answers for that. I don't know, and I'm not gonna pretend I do. I don't. I'd say, oh well, that's wrong. Light up the night's wrong. No, I don't know about that, because you know it'd be better than a minute church than out in the street, right? You know, or whatever. So I don't have an answer. All I know this is that you've got to decide what God wants you to do with the Halloween time. Okay? That's the long and the short. Violent crimes are more than doubled on Halloween night, especially against women and children. That's true. Terrible murders. Children abducted. Blood sacrifice rituals. Do you know there were 4,000 arrests because of President Trump is cracking down on this child trafficking. There were 4,000 arrests in the Philadelphia area alone. Did you know that? On child trafficking rings. All right? So, yeah, there it is. We're gonna close here and recognize this. There's a psalm there in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms there. It's Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my what? I shall not want. All right, there's a bright side to this, folks. All right? And the bright side is, it's the Lord Jesus. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. And a question I have for tonight, are you sure that you know that God? Are you sure that you're His and He's yours? That's what matters. That's what matters tonight. All right? And so I'm going to close with Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Verse 11. It says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Reprove them means to tell their faults. That's what we're doing tonight. We're telling their faults. Okay? "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." All right? And there's some things there we won't even talk about because it's that bad. All right? But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. If somebody tells the truth about something, that's light. Okay? "Wherefore he saith," listen to this, isn't this glorious? Verse 14. "Wherefore he saith," that's God, "awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light." All right? That's a call for salvation. That's a call to come to Christ. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So, we're going to close there tonight and recognize Halloween for what it is. It's going to be Wednesday, and so, I'm going to ask Jason if he'll dismiss us in prayer.